That's pretty amazing. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm glad that you've joined us in person and also online. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I just want to take a moment and say thank you so much for Pastor Appreciation last week. It was a blessing. It was a wonderful time. Amen. Thank you so much. Everyone who came out to the party too on the decades, I think we had like 200-ish people. Does that seem about right? Okay. 200 or so people. That was pretty awesome. We dressed in decades. Some of y'all didn't dress up, and so you just owned the 2025 decade, right? And the 2020s decade. Hey, whatever. It works. So we're thankful you did it. It was fun. Our family were in the 1920s, and it was pretty awesome, and we got to dress up like that and just have a good time together. President Michael Nortoon, the president of our denomination of Open Bible, took time in between his busy schedule and flying to Japan to minister. He made time to bring us a powerful word last week, and I was very thankful for that. And I just want to say thank you. Most of you I've reached out to if you gave us a card of appreciation, and I want to say thank you. If I didn't reach out to you yet, I'm trying to, and if I forget you, I'm trying to publicly do it now. So thank you so much for those gifts, for those cards. I just want to take a moment. Some of you write very special, heartfelt things. I want you to know how special that is. Sometimes I read those things, and I have to stop for a moment. Because you know what? It's great. I don't want to just be a preacher. I want to be a shepherd. And so it's good to hear what God is doing in your life, because how do we defeat the enemy? It's by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And if you never open your mouth and give a testimony, we just don't quite know what God is doing. But I have a file in my office, and it's full of the cards. This is our 10th celebration. We've been lead pastors now for 9.5 years. This was our 10th celebration. And in those 10 times, I handpick a few of those that really touched my heart in that season. And I put them in a file that says, keep going. Because sometimes in ministry, it's hard. It's heavy. You know what it's like. It's hard to follow Jesus. But oftentimes when you're following Jesus, you need to be reminded of the wonderful things that God has done. And I want you to know, some of you made the cut. If you just signed your name, you didn't make the cut. The card's cool, but I probably got three of the same kind of card. But I do appreciate it. What I'm saying is there are special ones, and I just want to say thank you for those that took time to really pour out your heart in what God is doing in and through this ministry and what God is allowing us to do as a faith family. So thank you for that. I just want to take a moment and say that. But we're in a new series. It's titled Make Room. Make Room. First Open Bible, we believe God is calling us to grow alongside our community by becoming a multicultural and a multi-generational church where everyone can experience the love of Christ and a welcoming family. I love that. We don't just call ourselves a church. We're a faith family. And we love that we are family, and some of y'all crazy. Everybody has crazy people in their family. People even have annoying people in their family. And we got, if you don't know who that is, it's probably you. So, but what I love is a family is diverse, it's different, it's cool, and I love that we can come together. We are a family, and it's very important. And you know what? What's better than family? To me, more family. So as God continues to bless us, we have more family that is coming, and we're making room. Now, this Make Room campaign is about more than just buildings. It's about creating a space for people to encounter Jesus. It's creating a space to form meaningful relationships and raise up the next generation of believers. What began as a season of renewal has now extended into a thriving church family with 2 Sunday morning services. Since 1942, First Open Bible has been privileged to steward a rich heritage of God's Spirit moving in powerful ways, with his tangible presence and his everlasting word transforming lives, families, and our community. But with growth comes the need for space. To continuing to welcome everyone God sends our way, we must make room. Amen? Amen? Amen. I still got the old school YouVersion way. If you want to follow along in the notes, you go in the YouVersion. Bottom right corner is more. It looks like a stack of pancakes. You go to events, First Open Bible Church, and you click save. I tried it this morning. I don't know if it didn't know an update. If you have a new way to do that, figure it out. Oh, praise God. So exactly almost 1 year ago today, we had Reveal Sunday. On November 24th, 2024, we had a monumental morning with our faith family. We revealed God's future plans for phase one of the Make Room campaign. Some of you will remember that we had our an architect come up here, and he presented with us some stuff, and it was so awesome. So if you can go out like on YouTube or something, go find that. You would love to watch it, and there's all these different plans that we're putting together that we've been working on, and it's so amazing what phase one is going to be like. Now, make room. What is that? For us, it's a specific prophecy for our house of worship. It's a prophecy many of us have heard for the last 4 years from many guest preachers and prophetic voices. As many of you have noticed, we're continuing to grow each week, and this is a wonderful thing. But at some point, we need to actually make room, right? It's one thing to say something, it's one thing to actually do something. But how do we make room? This is something I've wrestled with for 4 years. Now, 2.5 years ago, God answered my prayers and he gave me an obtainable dream and a vision. Behind the scenes, I've been working really hard on this. Many of you have no clue. Some of you do know. But I've been asking God to give me details of his dream and his vision to make room at First Open Bible. Now, at first, I worked all alone. Then, I continued to dream with my wife. And shortly after that, Rick Enyart, who is one of our board members, he came along my side, and we met with architects, engineers, and city officials. Then, about 1 year ago, I developed a dream team to help me carry this vision into the future. It was a dream I couldn't carry by myself any longer. I needed help. You know, some of the strongest people in the entire world are the ones that say, I can't keep doing this. I need help. You know, you're not strong when you don't ask for help. You're actually weak. If you need help, ask for help. It's also biblical. Now, this dream team has had countless, and I mean countless, we cannot count the volunteer hours that they have put in. They have tirelessly been working. The dream team has helped get this first phase off the ground, this God-given prophecy off the ground. And we're this far today because of them. So I'm going to ask the dream team to please stand. They're wearing something like I'm wearing today. Go ahead and stand. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Wesley Mekowee, he's at home. His wife's not feeling well. He's on there. Joe, my father-in-law, he is also on there. He was here first service, and my wife is on there. She's at home recovering from surgery on Wednesday that she had. So they are all part of the dream team. Church, this morning, we get to dream together. We are here this morning and this month to help see the dreams that God has provided for us come to life. Now, I can't do it without you. The dream team cannot do it without you. This dream, it's not my dream anymore. It's now our dream. It's our future. I'm pretty stoked about that. Mark 2, 21 through 22. Mark, Pastor Mark's favorite book. Amen. By the way, it's his birthday today, so please razz him. Yeah, happy birthday. Can you believe that? 115 today. Please ask him about World War I or II. He would love to talk to you about them. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was a kid. He looks really good. And this is what he would say to you. Just keep drinking water. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Mark 2, 21 through 22. It's in the New Testament, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of those Gospels are written by people who actually walked with Jesus. Luke was somebody who walked with Paul and learned about the things of Jesus. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark says this in verse 21 through 22 in the second chapter. That's the big number. The little numbers are the verses. And it says this: no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, a new piece would pull away from the old, making the tear even worse. Verse 22, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine would burst the skin, and both the wine and the wineskin would be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Every wineskin expands under the pressure of fermentation. If new unfermented wine was poured into an old, dry, brittle wineskin, it would burst. That skin simply could not handle the pressure of what was going on and what was expanding on the inside of it. Throughout Scripture, wine represents life, blessings, joy, and the Spirit of God. So when Jesus talked about new wine in this Scripture, here's what he was talking about. He was talking about a fresh move of God. He was talking about new growth, new anointing, and new life being poured out. This small passage of Scripture speaks to us powerfully today because of these three things. You can't hold new life in old skins. You can't experience new power with old patterns. And you can't walk into the new move of God with an old mindset. God is doing something fresh. He's stretching his church. And he's expanding his people. Now that does not give you permission to go to Pizza Ranch. You know I'm saying it. You just felt it, yeah. Or that new Chinese place. What is that? Golden Apple. You think I should get like a discount because I got Apple in my last name, but no. There's this kid that goes to school at where my daughter goes to school, and his last name's Applebee, and that poor kid has never even been to Applebee's. I was like, bro, that's your place. Anyway, but God, he is stretching his church. I'm going to go like this, because y'all getting the wrong mindset like this. He's stretching his church. He's expanding his people. First Open Bible, he is preparing for new life, and that requires a new wineskin. Today we stand on the prayers and the faith and the sacrifice of the generations that have gone before us. Since 1942, Pastor Mark remembers. I'm playing. He looks like he's 60-something years old, but he's aging very well. Praise God. No, we were established in 1942, First Church of the Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. In March of 42. And this church has been a testimony of God's goodness in this city. Every tear, every dollar, every dream, and every act of obedience has been used by God to bring us to this moment right now. This building we worship in right now, it was just once a vision in Pastor Stevens' heart, and faith made it a reality in 1997. A dream, a plan, and an investment, all for the future. It's pretty incredible. Was anybody around in 1997 when we had that happen? Raise your hand in the air like you care. Amen. Faithful people. I'm going to embarrass somebody. Pastor Stevens and Ms. Sharon, will you please stand? Thank you for your faithfulness. I know you hate it. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Now Pastor Stevens can come up and finish the rest of the sermon. Man, I haven't seen him run that fast. Oh my goodness. No, but thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your diligence. I know you didn't do it alone. But I know it had to be a vision coming from you. It had to be a dream, and you had to carry that forth. And I get it. It's heavy. I'm there now. It's incredible what God has done. Just look around you. Look what the Lord has done. This is amazing. But God's not finished yet. We're entering into a new season, a season of expansion, faith, and a fresh anointing. God tells us in Luke 16:10, he says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." Since 2022, that's 3 years ago, our in-person attendance on a Sunday morning has increased by 93%. In our kids' ministry, Miss Haley's here, the assistant. In the last 3 years, our kids' ministry has increased by 188%. By the way, if you love children and you haven't served and you call this home, what are you waiting for? And our First Home Bible Youth is running out of space as well. This is a season for investment. Investing in a new wineskin so God can continue to pour out. We have been trustworthy with little, and God is giving us much. The Make Room campaign focus is a facelift and a remodel of God's house. In the sanctuary alone, in this room alone, with this remodel, with this phase one, we'll have 200 more seats. Amen. That doesn't include the foyer, the breaking down of walls and opening up for the kids' ministry or the youth ministry. There are so many things that we are opening up and we are making room. Let's make room in our hearts and our faith and yes, in our church house. This upcoming remodel is not just about construction, it's about preparation. We're preparing for new families. We're preparing for new salvations, new miracles, new healings, and we're preparing for God's deliverance and a fresh outpouring of His powerful and His precious Spirit. My God-given dream from 2.5 years ago is now our dream. Scary. It's scary to step out of a boat and keep your eyes on Jesus when everybody else behind you is saying, "What are you doing?" You have two options in faith. You can stay in the boat or you can get out. I choose to get out. And it's scary because you have to release control. You have to follow the plans and the prophecy of God's word. And you have to say, "Okay, God, if it's your will, it's your bill. Make a way. Trust you." But here we are. It's time to make room. I love what the Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:2. It says this, "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision, make it plain on tablets.'" Anybody love it when God dumbs it down for you? I do. "Make it plain on tablets." Why? "That he may run who reads it." Our first phase is going to require a minimum of $1.3 million over the next 2 years to renovate and expand three major key areas of our church. Now, every dollar invested will create more room for lives to be changed by the gospel. Now, construction is going to begin as soon as possible when we have the finances. When we have at least half the money in the bank, we're going to break ground. 2 years, yes, that's our goal. But you know what our prayer is? Sooner. Amen. Maybe the next 2 hours. I don't know. Anybody know like a multimillionaire? Like, make friends with them. Amen. Tell them about what God is doing in your life. Send them. Praise God. You know what? There's so much money in the world, and oftentimes they just use it for pleasure. It's about time that we use it for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody knocking off a bank later, okay, for the kingdom of God. That's wrong. What's wrong? Don't you do it. All right, pray a different way. Hallelujah. In our current foyer, right over here by the women's bathroom, we have renderings hung up next to the women's bathroom. And right there, we also have a make room little desk that we're going to have somebody there stationed the entire next today and the next 3 weeks for the entire series. But right over there is renderings. Renderings is a fancy word for pictures of what is to come, the future. And that is some pictures of the main level of what is to come. If you want to see more of that, we invite you to go back and go to Reveal Sunday on YouTube and watch from 1 year ago. But you can go over there and you can check it out before you leave. But as you leave today, here's what we're going to do as well. We're going to give every family, just one to a family, because we spent a lot of money on this bad boy. It's an investment. But every family is going to get one of these. It's really cool. It's called a giving guide. And on the giving guide, it's going to have a lot of details inside of it. What we're doing, why we're doing it, what it looks like biblically, what it looks like financially, what it looks like, what God wants to do. There's three main key areas of the purpose behind this that we're getting behind. And then in the very back, there's this tear-off sheet. And I want you to take it for the next 2 weeks and give it prayer. Because 2 weeks from today, we're going to come back and there's going to be the granddaddy of them all, the kickoff of the Make Room campaign. And we're going to make a commitment above our regular tithes. See, tithes is 10% or giving that you want if you want to go New Testament. That God owns. That's his. Just give it right away. Some of you say, I can't tithe. Well, guess what? If you're not able to live off 100%, you still can't live off 90%, but you might as well bless the 90% because you're cursing the 100%. Okay? So, and I'm not just saying that to make you feel bad. From the very first paycheck in April of 1996, when I was 16 years old, when I worked at Safeway grocery store, bagging the groceries, dealing with bad customers, and still taking out the stuff, from that paycheck until this very moment right now, I have never missed my tithe, not one time. And God has always blessed me because I followed a biblical principle. Trust me, you can do it. I did it through college. I had no money. I couldn't do anything. I could barely eat food. Man, sometimes I was wondering if I can go outside because some of the beggars outside eating better than I'm eating, and I'm struggling and working and doing all the things. But I know what it's like to be faithful in my giving. And so above that tithe and offering, what kind of sacrifice can we make for the kingdom? You're going to take one of these as you leave. We're going to give you one as you go out. One per family. It's a giving guide, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But right before we go, I'm going to highlight real quickly three things in this giving guide that we know that God wants to do. He's making room for three major things. Number one, making room for God to move. Making room begins with surrender. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and your proper worship. Before God can move through us, he must first move in us. We must give him all that we are. Give him your comforts, give him your plans, give him your talents, give him your resources, and we can ask him to stretch and shape us for his glory. When we give to God, God does amazing things. The Make Room Initiative is first and foremost a spiritual journey. It's not just about renovating a building, it's about renewing our hearts. It's about saying, God, show me how I can make room for you. Make room for you in my faith. Make room for you in my family. Make room for you in my generosity. Make room for you in my church. Make room for you in my obedience. I love what evangelist Oswald Chambers said. He said this, quote, complete surrender is the key to experiencing complete victory. End quote. This is a season where God is calling us to expand our capacity, deepen our surrender, and believe for more than ever before. Because when we make room for God, God moves. Second thing is this, we need to make room to be family. Through the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, God made us family. Think about it. If you're sitting by somebody you're not related to, there is not much that you can really say we are completely even on. We have different backgrounds, different things that we love. We come from different places. We have different hearts. We have different desires. But we're all unified by one thing, the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. 1 week from yesterday, most of this room and I, we are not getting along because I'm going to that Oregon Duck game. Oh, I mean the Hawkeye game. Right? But we are unified the next day in the house of God. But what's amazing is Jesus made us family. I love what Ephesians 2:19 says this. You're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, bound together by his love and his grace. We want our church spaces, our foyer, our community room, our classrooms, our sanctuary, our gathering areas to reflect this reality. A place that draws people together, fosters connection, and sparks deep, meaningful relationships. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, it tells us, and many of us know this, but it's true. A new command I give you. This is Jesus speaking to his followers, speaking to his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone, it's everyone outside, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When this world sees us loving one another, sees us serving one another, sees us forgiving one another, sees us laughing and crying together, sees us worshiping together, church, the world sees Jesus. Our neighbors desire this kind of belonging. And we want First Open Bible to declare this loud and clear. There's a place for you here. We made room for you. We made room for you. We made a space so you can experience the one who created you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote this, quote, "The church is only the church when it exists for others," end quote. If you went to a country club this morning, you're in the wrong house. We're a faith family, and the thing we love most is more family. We're making room not just for more people, but we're making room for more family, for more hearts to experience the love and the belonging that only Jesus can give us. Lastly, the third thing is this. We're making room to grow the family. Prayers have been prayed, songs have been sung, meetings have been had, promo has gone out. Now we must prepare to plant seeds. We must prepare to grow God's kingdom. We must invest into his prophetic word to us. Now God is growing our faith family week by week, month by month, and year by year. He's adding people of all ages, all stories, and all types of backgrounds. Psalm 145 says this in verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." God's unstoppable kingdom has always been a grassroots movement, one person sharing with another person. That is the good news of Jesus. One generation passing the torch down to the other generation. One generation speaking of God's love to another generation. One generation speaking of his promises to another generation. One generation speaking of God's provision to another generation. It is handing those things down over and over and over again. This is how the family of God grows, and growing a family is always cause for celebration. So I want us to prepare our hearts and also prepare our building with gladness. Gladness for what is about to come, and gladness for what is here now. I want us to build a space that shouts this: come on in and join us. We have been waiting for you. Amen. Church, the harvest is ripe, and our faith family is about to grow again. Luke 14, 23 says this: go out. Come on, I'm prophetically speaking to you right now. This is your word. Jesus said it to his followers, and I say it to you tonight, today, right now, this morning, and this moment. Go out to the roads and in the country lanes and the county lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Now, this month is not just another series. This is a continuation of spiritual movement, spiritual momentum. Every dollar, every act of faith, every sacrifice we make today and this month and in the next 2 years becomes a seed for the generations who will one day worship here. Psalm 102:18 says this: let this be recorded for future generations so that a people not yet born will praise the Lord. Now, I love this. When I was praying about this verse, I saw two things. I love this. By the way, abortion is against God's word. It is never, it's not, God is a God of life. Babies in the womb are babies. They have a purpose, a plan, and a desire. So I see this two ways. I see this as the not yet born, the unborn, the ones that are to come, the babies. As you saw, 188% of our kids' ministry is growing. Easter alone, we had 100 kids in those two services. 20 babies at one point. I mean, that's like a nightmare. The only thing worse than that is 4-year-olds, 24-year-olds. You want to take over the world? Just give 4-year-olds whatever they want, and they'll just take over the world. They're like little dictators running around. But I see that verse in two ways. Number one, the babies yet to come, the unborn yet to come, the family yet to come. But I see it another way. I see it also of the people that are yet to be born again. New believers coming into the house of God, hearing the gospel. I love that. Let me read again. Psalm 102:18. Let this be recorded for future generations so that a people not yet born will praise the Lord. Worship team, can you come, please? All right, here you go. The time has come for this make room dream to become a reality. We can do this together in many different ways. I just wrote down 4 quick ways that we can do it together. Number one is this: right now on kickoff Sunday, you're going to receive, like I said, this giving guide as you go out. One per family, please, as you leave. Take it home, pray about what God is asking you to commit to, then bring it back and tear off that piece in the back 2 weeks from today. Everybody say two. All right, second thing is this: next Sunday, continue to pray and seek the Lord and how he wants you to invest into this Make Room campaign. Next week, we have an inspirational man that is coming to preach, to inspire, to stir up our heart and ask God what he wants to do. He is a man full of faith. He's a man full of the anointing, and he is coming and he is going to speak to us. And many of you know who he is, and you'll find out next week who that person is. But he's got a word for us at this very hour, at this very time. And we want to ask God, how do I invest into the future here at First Open Bible? And number three is this: 2 weeks from today, November 16th, it's our Sow and Seed Sunday, our Commitment Sunday, the granddaddy Sunday of them all for this campaign. That's the day that we're going to be able to do something great. I just heard fairly recently, there's going to be a match dollar for dollar that day and that week only at that time. I think it's going to be 1 or 2 weeks, match a match. What does that mean? It means if you give $20 because of that match, it equaled $40. If you're going to give $100, it's now $200. If you're giving $1,000, it's $2,000. That's amazing. You know, the kingdom of God is not about addition, it's about multiplication. And in case you're not a math whiz, that's times two everything you give. Some of y'all, you're going to have to watch this again and be like, oh, pass. Come on now. Pastor, crazy. You know who you are. You're still not getting it right now. Hallelujah. 2 weeks, November 16th, Sow and See Sunday. Also, this week you're going to have this shirt. There's like a, you can get like a crew neck, you can get a t-shirt, you can get a long sleeve shirt, you can get the hoodie. By the way, it's really cool. Look at this in the back. How awesome. And then if you scan that QR code, there's people around that are wearing this. If you scan that, it takes you to our Make Room special website. You can go to it, and it's all about what God is doing. It's all about the vision, and there's a website, so you can scan this QR code. It's massive, and you can probably do it right now. No, you can't. Ha! Okay. All right, I'm going to hide it now. But do it later. We want you to do it before you go and check that out. And then 3 weeks from today is November 23rd. It's our last Sunday of this series. And it's called The Overflow. See what God will do in your life when you sacrificially invest into his kingdom. Let me tell you what will happen. You will have an overflow. When you sacrificially give into the kingdom of God, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know he will do something. It's biblical. When you come and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord, Malachi, he says, test me. Watch what I'll do. When you invest into the kingdom of God, he says, watch what I will do. And then he tells us there'll be an overflow. An overflow. We're being called to make room in our hearts and our prayers and in our generous giving. We're not just building walls, church. We're building a legacy. Before we go today, I want to talk to you about legacy real quick. In the future, in this remodel, we're going to have a legacy wall. What is that going to be? It's a place that everyone who makes a pledge and fulfills that pledge all the way through the 2-year commitment, your name or whatever you want to put on there will be on that wall. It's a legacy wall, and that is going to be something special to remember for generations to come. Who invested into what God said? Who invested into the prophecy? Who believed? Who stepped out of the boat? Who said, yes, God, I'll be a part of that? Whatever portion that God puts on your heart, if you fulfill that 2-year commitment, you get to be a part of what God is doing, and we're going to put it in part of the new expansion area, the legacy wall. Will you stand with me, please? Brad, can you come on up? I just want to say one more thing. Brad, he's our dream team lead. One thing I did, every once in a while I do something smart. This is one of them. Brad is anointed and gifted in life to manage, to get things in order, to see a project go through. That's what he does for his world job. And I saw the giftings in the thing upon his life. And not only gifted at it, but he's thankful for it. He loves it. And one thing with me is I've been carrying this for so long that I couldn't carry it any longer by myself. And I needed someone to come alongside and take the reins of this. And I'm thankful for Brad and the gifting. He is the make room lead. Right, I'm still involved. I still make the major decisions. I'm still involved when they need help spiritually or ideas or break a tying vote or something. I'm there to help that, but I've handed off to him. Number one, because he's gifted. Number two, because he's gifted. Number three, I don't want to die early. I don't want to, you know, carrying this by yourself would be suicide. So you need someone who's gifted, and so I'm so thankful for you and your gifting. He's going to close us out in prayer here in just a second, but I wanted to say something to you before I go. So when I'm praying about this for years, and I'm also asking God, I need a scripture. I need something to hold on to. I don't know if you have a life verse, or you have a verse, a season verse where you're going right through right now. If you don't have that, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. It's good to hold on to scripture when you're walking through something. My life verse is Ephesians 4:1. But for this campaign, I asked God, what's a verse? And he gave me two. In Leviticus 26:9-10, it says this. It's God speaking to his people. And God's speaking to his people right now. He says this, I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people. And I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain and make room for the new harvest. Hallelujah. Before we close in prayer, I just say this, God, we're making room for you. We heard you, we've planned and we've prepared and we're digging deep, but God, we can't do it without you. This is for you and with you. We trust you. Even though we're afraid, even though we don't know exactly how it's going to get done, we step out of the boat in faith and we say yes. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We will not sink. We will walk to the places that you've called us. We love you, Jesus. Trust you, God. Thank you for entrusting us with precious, precious souls and precious life. There's no greater commodity in heaven than souls. We will be good stewards. And we promise to do our very best.
As Pastor asked me to close us out today, this morning in worship, the Lord put a couple of things in my heart that I want to share with you. First of all, Jesus is the prize. I don't want us to ever lose sight of that, right? We're going to be busy. I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be great. But let's not lose the right focus. Jesus is the prize. And the other thing I wanted to encourage us with, I've had people come up to me and be like, Brad, how do I get involved in God's work, right? Like God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. What does that look like? What do I do? Do I do X, Y, or Z? And it's like, yeah, whatever God tells you to do, go do that. But this is your chance, church family. Like right now, this Make Room campaign, this is our chance to step into what God's doing. So if you want to know how you can help, there's more information coming. Pastor mentioned in 2 weeks we're going to be asking for a pledge. But there's way more than that. First of all, pray. We need your prayers. Our team covets your prayers for this because we can't, as Pastor said, we can't do it on our own. But God's going to make it happen. I'm so excited to see how he works. So prepare your hearts. Pray. And call the office and say, hey, I want to volunteer. What can I do? Give me a task. Give me a job. We'll find something for you. All right? So let me pray, and then we'll end with worship. Father, we're so grateful for what you're doing. We're so thankful that you are an active God. You are not sitting back just watching things happen. No, you are intimately and personally involved in each and every moment of our life. We thank you for that. We declare your goodness, your greatness, and Father, we ask that as we prepare our hearts that you would place in us what you would have us to do. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.